I want to thank God for all the what I've been said about me and my family and the work of God. I'm happy, and this is all I need to say is the Lord's doing. I am only obedience to what God said I should do. And I want to bless God for that. It's grace that have led us so far where we are. And I'm happy that I have friends like the Pastor Dave Brooke and Karen and the Philomath family. Hallelujah. Thank God that I'm so connected with you. And I want to thank God that I have the opportunity today to be here again, to see you and to fellowship with you. And thank you for your prayers. You know, you are always praying for us and encouraging us and allowing your pastor to visit, you know, and some of the members here, you know, that have been to Sierra Leone and those that are going to be there in the near future. Yeah. Amen. So I want to thank God for that and thank God for your support and prayer. It's so much appreciated, you know. I want to believe that God had a purpose and a plan for all of us. And we walk in the plans of God. And I feel honored once again to be with you. And I'm happy that we are family. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Dave, for this opportunity. And I want to bless the Lord. I want to bring you greetings because you've seen my wife and my children. Of course, you've known the names, Precious, Possible, Peculiar, and Promise. All doing fine. And I want to thank God. My twin boys will be taking their final GSS exam, junior secondary school exam in June this month. So they'll get ready for senior secondary school. 13 years. Yeah, they are 13 years. So, and want to bring you greetings from my church, the Foursquare Church in Sierra Leone, that I'm representing by the grace of God, as you have heard. In a lonely beginning, but this is where God has brought us so far. Amen. And I feel honored to lead and to be a servant to the people of God. A little bit this morning, I'll be sharing. You know, God, I have listened to him and I have a lot of things that I wanted to do. But God said to my son, I have a word for your people, for the people of God. And I want to share that with you. I'm believing that word will cause a change in your life. And we also challenge you to do more for the Lord. You are working for him, but he always wants you to do more because that is what God expects us. I have not arrived. I have just started. Okay? And so because I had that in my mind, I want to do more for the Lord. My success, Paul says, not that I have already arrived. What I have done, I have forgotten about it. It's the past. Okay? He now says, I press. I'm pressing on a daily basis until it comes. I continue pressing. And so in the service of the Lord, God expects us to press on a daily basis. And so this morning, I want us to look at few passages of the scriptures. And I have had time looking at this, and God gave me a message. You know, we just celebrated Easter in April and looking at how Jesus entered Jerusalem. And I look at when he gets to Jerusalem, what he did was actually one of the areas I wanted us to look at, because entering into Jerusalem was by purpose. And when he got there, he looked at what was happening then, and he corrected those errors that some people were thinking, well, this is how we have been in the house of God for so long, but actually not doing what God expected them to do. And so in Matthew 21, if you have your Bible, where actually I would love to look at, I look at a lot of verse there in verse 42. And Jesus went into the temple of God. I love that. Jesus went into the temple of God. Matthew 21. I'm reading Matthew 21. Verse 12. Please, 12. 21, 12. And Jesus went where? And did what? And cast. And cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seat of them that sold doves. Next verse. Can you go to 13? And said unto them, it is written. Jesus said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and healed them. Probably I will be, I like sometimes people like to look at, what is he talking about? And I believe that God says to me, share with your people about my house, my Father's house and purpose. My Father's house and purpose. You see, you got to understand when Jesus says, you have made my Father's house as a den of thieves. Now, entering into Jerusalem, Jesus got there. And this time, his purpose of getting to Jerusalem was to fulfill God's plan concerning his life. That's why he took the disciples to Jerusalem. But I was wondering, the kind of welcome that he received was so great. And I'm wondering, if I had that kind of welcome, maybe entering the United States and I got at the airport and all cars and dignitaries are waiting for me. And they say, oh, welcome, Pastor Pira, into the United States of America. Oh, you are welcome. And my first point of, you know, visits will not actually be in Philomath, maybe at Obama's lodge at the White House. Okay? You know, because, you know, looking at the way the people welcomed Jesus was so glorious that when he entered Jerusalem, all eyes were on him. And everybody knew that he was in Jerusalem. But I was like surprised that he could not change direction, because he would have been drawn away and said, oh, I need to see the chief, the chief or the king, and visit, pay courtesy call. But we are told that when he gets to Jerusalem, after a few days, the Bible says that his first point of contact was the temple. Is that not something we think about? And in life, one of the things I believe that in life, my Father's house and purpose is something that we should think about. Jesus said, you have made my Father's house. You know, in life, there are things or properties that we own. Either we bought them or they are given to us. When they're given to us and we possess them, we refer to them as my car. Is that not so? My phone, my house. All these things become mine because we own them. And now I look at Jesus. One of the things as Christians that where we need to begin as we serve God is our relationship with Him. Our what? Relationship. The way we relate. And if I have my car, you know, I've just been given a car maybe a few months ago, you know? So it becomes my car. Now, when you have things like that, how do you want people who are related to you to treat them? Do you want them to treat those things with disrespect or with regard? No, you will love people to treat what you have with what? With what? With respect. Good. Good. Because that is what you have. And whoever is related to you, you want those people to believe that what you have should be treated with respect. That's what Jesus, when he entered into Jerusalem, you see, but this can only happen when we are related. When we are related, our relationship will define the way we do things. Okay? And so, when Jesus got to Jerusalem, he was like surprised. I don't know. He was like surprised. He was actually supposed to be seeing people in the house of God actually being spiritual and doing a lot of, you know, uplifting people. And actually, that is the purpose of our gathering. Okay? I mean, we don't gather to exalt people. We don't gather to lift people up. We don't gather to say, oh, you are this number. Our gathering as Christians, as believers, is to lift up the name of Jesus. Okay? You know, I've been trying lately to try to refocus my people as I teach them. I try to teach about servanthood, leadership. Jesus said, whoever wants to be great must be what? Must be the least. He must be the servant. He must be the servant. Greatness in the kingdom is not about what you have. It's not about who you are. It's about service. Amen. It's about service. So when Jesus got to Jerusalem, you know, he was surprised. And I said, when we talk about my Father's house, you see, Jesus got to the point of saying, this was my Father's house. And so I look at it that the relationship between Jesus and the Father was so close that he had the right to say, this is my Father's house. Okay? So, now, you look at it, when we as believers also have deep relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, then we develop that fellowship with Him and others together as believers. You see, the only time we refer to Him as our Father, my Father, is when we build a relationship with Him. Now, Pastor Dave, I never knew him, so we had no relationship. Am I talking? But I got to know him, and he got to know me. So what happened? We build what? Relationship. Okay? So he can tell you about Pastor Pira, Pastor Pira's wife, Pastor Pira's where he's living, how he started, based on our what? Relationship. So as Christians or as believers, the beginning points of whatever we do for God start with our relationship with Him. How intimate are we with Him? How close are we with Him? We cannot say to Him, He is my Father, I'm doing my Father's business, when I do not have relationship with Him. Amen. And so today, we have believers who treat their relationship with God as when they feel. Today, you know, some people enter into a relationship and they just say, I do to you what I want. No. When you have mutual relationship with people, you respect what they have, you respect what they say. That is relationship. So as believers, when we say we are related with God, we don't just say, God, it is when I want to do this, I will do it. No? Okay? Is it because you are so related to Him, you respect what He says? Okay? And that's why when Jesus got to Jerusalem, He was not looking for the praises of men. He was not looking for men to say, oh, welcome. But He was there to put things straight so that people will get to know who they are. And so when He got there, He entered into the temple, the house of prayer, the house of God. Listen, there are so many people outside there. They would have loved to be here, but they have not had that relationship with Him. Okay? You have the relationship. And so you love to be where He is. You love to be with the brethren. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42, what makes the difference between those outside were that the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42, that they were all together in one place because they have already built relationship with God the Father. They have known Jesus Christ. And so nothing stopped them. The Bible says they were together in fellowship, breaking of bread, in prayer, and encouraging one another because they had relationship with the Father. Okay? So, Jesus entered Jerusalem, and the priorities that He placed was not on people, was not on the rulers, was on God. Can I challenge you this morning? That as we walk with the Lord, as we serve Him, and maybe you have not also built that relationship with Him, this morning I pray you will encounter Him. You got to know Him. So Jesus entered Jerusalem. Our first priority here that I put, that we as believers we should know, is that first priority, we should have a committed relationship with Christ. I call it committed what? Relationship. There are times we have relation, we make relationship, but we are not committed to it. There's a difference between just making relationship. There is this side of being committed to it. When Jesus called the disciples, He called Peter. Peter was committed to knowing more about who Jesus was. But the rich young ruler, when he came to Him, Jesus actually did not call him. He came to Jesus. And he asked Jesus, he said, I have heard you preach, but I have some problem. I can't understand what you are saying. How can I make heaven? He built a relationship and Jesus said to him, this. And he said, oh my Jesus, I am very good in those areas. Huh? good relationship. And then Jesus looked at him and said, wonderful guy. I've never seen you. He said, yes. And Jesus gave him, I told people that Jesus gave him an exam question that he never answered. He could not solve the problem. It was only one question Jesus gave him. And Jesus looked at him and said, good friend, one more thing, one question you need to answer. Sell all what you have, give to the poor. One question. And that was the end of the relationship with Jesus. He said to him, he never answered. He never attempted to answer the question. He never said, well, I can start with one page and see what I can write. The question was on him. And you know what he did? He just turned back. The Bible says he looked. He turned away from Jesus and went away. The relationship was broken because he was not committed to that relationship. He was not looking for temporary things that can satisfy him. Oh, good, you can have this. Oh, good, yes, you can have this. But Jesus said, no. One question you answer, and that give you, that leads you to heaven. Sell what you have and give to those who do not have. And he never attempted to answer that question. So I say to you this morning, my Father's house and purpose, one thing we should understand is that if we are going to be owning what God had, we need to have one, build a committed relationship. If, you know, we don't know him, we cannot build relationship with him. First of all, we need to know him. Unless we start by knowing him. I cannot serve God if I don't know him. So, my challenge this morning to you is that if we are going to say, my Father's house, and understand the purpose why we are gathering, is that one, we need to know, we need to build a committed relationship with him. And not only relationship, but we call it lasting relationship. You know, when you build that, you grow beyond just people telling you. See, this day I was looking, I tried to bring my people into areas of maturity. And I look at five stages of growth in the Christian life. There's some people, they are the multitude, those who just come to Christ because they want some things. They want healing. They want to be blessed. They're in trouble. They want God to take away their problem, but they don't have serious commitment with Christ. They are the multitude. And all of us start as multitude in our relationship with God, seeking for something one way or the other. But as you seek God, you move from being a multitude to a believer. Okay? Now you believe that, you know, your relationship is getting deeper with God. I believe in Jesus. You built relationship. But that should not be the place where you stop. Because when you look at what God has for you in store, you say to yourself, I want to move from being a believer to a disciple. That people in my church can look at me and want to learn something from me. I want to pour my life to other people and be a blessing. I want to serve him. And when you look at the benefit of being a disciple, you say to yourself, I want to be an apostle. Okay? You are growing. You are growing from just being an ordinary believer to a disciple and then to an apostle. You can say, I want to go to other places like Pastor Dave is doing, get to Sierra Leone, teach. He moves from being a disciple to an apostle, teaching other people what he has learned. And that's what God expects us in our relationship with Him. And then the last stage I've been talking about is that you, when you move from being an apostle, you become a friend. When you become a friend of Jesus, you don't need anybody to coerce you to serve Him, to beg you, to call you. A friend of Jesus knows the mind of Jesus. The friend of Jesus knows what Jesus wants to say. The friend of Jesus knows exactly what Jesus is saying to him. So he woke up in the morning with his family and said, "This is what God is saying," because you are close to Him. Jesus said, "Greater love had no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friend." And He said to him, "I don't call you slave anymore. You are my friends because you know what I'm doing. Right now, as I'm talking, we are going to Jerusalem. I've told you what is going to take place there. The Son of Man is going to be killed. You only reveal that to your friends." Am I talking? You only reveal that to who? Your friend. Your friend knows the next step you are going to take because he's your friend. So, relationship is important if you are going to say, "This is my Father's house." And number two, when you know Him, you develop zeal for His service. You see, knowing Him, your zeal, your motivation in serving Him increases because you are not doing it in vain. Listen to me. You are doing a great job in this part of the world. And you are doing it with zeal. You know, people talk, I heard Pastor Dave say, we give in Africa. And some, you know, people do it with zeal and vigor. And even though some people don't have, they dance around because it's the joy of the Lord. Amen. It's not about what you have, but do you know Him? I'm not happy because today I have money. If I don't have, I still give glory to God. Okay? I'm not dancing because I've eaten this money. No, even if I don't have, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I know you might be passing through some challenges. I'm not saying you are not passing through those challenges. I know. But because of your relationship with God, you are so zealous to serve Him that you say to yourself, as Paul says, "What can separate me from the love of God?" Answer the question. I am not going to answer it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. No, nothing. Am I having a family challenges? It shall not separate me from the love of God. That's what Paul says. Because I have built relationship with Him. It cannot be broken by any earthly circumstances. And listen to me. Those tests come in our Christian life, but listen to me. You are above them. Amen. I think you are above them. And I think lastly, when you do that, when you develop that zeal for the Lord, you see, that's why people cannot explain why you have to make it to church this morning. You are supposed to be sleeping. Am I talking? You're supposed to be in a coffee shop. Good. Because your relationship with Him. Somebody woke up this morning and said, "Where, church? We're going to go somewhere else." Okay? But your relationship with Him says to you, no, you have to be in the house of God. You have to see the brethren. You have to fellowship with the brethren. And you are zealous. And when you do that, when you have that, you know, there are benefits that you derive from the house of God. And I think God helping me. I want to round up with that. My Father's house and purpose. Jesus said, when you go to all the, you know, we don't have time, but you go back and look at the book of Matthew 21, Mark chapter 11, I think I've made those points for you. You, when you look at Mark chapter 11, all the four Gospels, I've tried to look at them this morning. Luke 19, 45 and 48, Mark 11, 15 and 19, and John 2, 12 and 17. They said the same thing about the Jesus being in his Father's house. And one of the things I want to round up with is that Jesus owned, he said, he did not say this is somebody's church, somebody's house. He said, my what? My Father's house. I won't go to David Brooks Church. It's not David Brooks Church. Am I talking? It's my Father's house. It's just, some people are so funny. Oh, it's Pastor Dave? No, I won't get there. No, it's not Pastor Dave's church. It's my Father's what? House. And in my Father's house, there are some things I want us to look at. That when Jesus entered there, maybe you can give me a slide again on Matthew 21. Let's look at maybe 14 and 15. Now, the benefit of being in my Father's house is what I'm going to end up with. You see, listen, you are not serving God in vain. No, there is no man that serves God without getting the benefit of serving him. I have enjoyed the benefit of serving God, and I talk to people all over the world where I happen to find myself. I give you that encouragement. There is no man that serves God in vain. Amen. Matthew chapter 21. The Bible says, and when he entered the temple, the Bible says they brought the lame and the sick. And the Bible says he cast out. He cast out devils out of them and he healed them. Now, there are benefits when we know my Father's house and the purpose why we are gathering. We are gathering. The church is meant to bring hope to those who are hopeless. You see, don't negate with coming to church. You might be frustrated in your office, you might be frustrated at home, you might be have some challenges, but when you come to my Father's house, you hear a word from the Lord. That's why when Jesus entered into the temple, he cleansed what was not supposed to be there. Some people were doing things that were not actually supposed to be done in my Father's house. And Jesus grew with anger. Are we angry when we see things not being done the right way? And he drove them out and instituted what was supposed to be in the house of God. God opened my eyes some months ago, that when Jesus entered the temple, imagine at age 12, he was in that temple and he read the scriptures from there and he was so blessed that the people around him were blessed. But by the time he was ending his ministry and getting there, it was a different story. Instead of people reading the Bible, praying and trusting God for miracle, they've turned the house to another thing. And Jesus could not but to straight away straighten up things. He said, guys, out! This is my Father's house. If nobody is going to put it straight with you, I have to. I know my Father. This house is meant to be a house of prayer. When we come, is it not awesome? We worship the Lord this morning. Through our brother's songs and all those, we are blessed. We've encouraged ourselves. We meet with others. We build relationship. We pray with each other. That's how the house of God is supposed to be. So when I say my Father's house and purpose, I am saying we must, as believers and Christians, have an understanding why we gather together. At home, you must know that you are gathering as a family and you are praying. So this morning, I hope you got what I'm saying. Because I'm like, what? I mean, I don't know how many people understand what I'm saying. You understand? And so, God is asking me to let you know that we have great benefits when we serve Him, when we build relationship with Him, and when we know that He is our Father, and you, as a believer, you have access to the benefit of being a son and a daughter to Him. That's why when Jesus took control of the church, the temple, the Bible says, those places that they turn as merchandise, He turned it as a house of prayer. And He was praying for people and people were being healed. If you came this morning believing God for a miracle, Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we meet you at the point of your need this morning. It's not about me, it's about Jesus. You came discouraged. You're like about writing your last will and say, I'm done. I want to say to you, God is going to begin with you. You see, the widow of Zarephath, when Elijah came to him, he said to him, to her, please bring me water. And the woman was saying, water, we have no problem in America, we can give you water. And while the woman was going, the prophet said to him, and prepare me some meal, I want to eat. And it was time of trial and hardship and famine. I just remember when we gone through 11 years of war and there was nothing, and then somebody said to you, you're only having maybe a little to eat, and somebody said to you, what you have with your kids, please prepare and let me eat first. I think I can hear a different voice. I might say, who are you? Are you going to give me what I'm going to eat with my family? But we are told that the woman was like obeyed in time of need. And I used to tell people that that young boy, the son of that widow, would have been sitting looking at the prophet eating and say, wicked prophets, all that we had, you are eating it. And the prophet said, I must eat first. I eat first. You will be the last people to eat. And the son of the widow was sitting down looking at the prophet eating. And I know that son would have been saying, Mama, which kind of prophet is this? And when the prophet finished eating, say, look at Mama Widow and say, woman, I have a word for you. It seems you have relationship with me and you have relationship with God. I prophesy in your life, Ma, that as long as this famine will last, you shall not lack. Amen. Is it not awesome? While others were looking for what to eat, the widow was living in plenty with his son because of the relationship. I want to challenge you. I don't know how big is your problem. I don't know even whether the doctor has made this so frightening. But I believe God. Whatever will be that problem, God has an answer to it. Based on your relationship with Him, He will answer your need this morning. There's somebody here. You have been so disturbed. God is giving me a word for you. Because you are in my Father's house, He's going to take control of that situation. I don't care how big it is. I have seen God done great things, and I still believe Him. I am now about to conclude, and God is saying to me, my son, there are people that need to know, believers that need to know that there are benefits in serving God. What you cannot do, God can do it for you. Where you are tired, God will take over from there. Where it seems as if that boy or that girl is going astray, God says, I want to take over from there. Because you can't be in my house and suffer disgrace. You can't be in my house and be thinking about suicide. You can't be in my house and you are being, you know, tormented by all kind of forces. You cannot sleep. God says, I want to take over from there. Lord, I thank you. I pray for that woman. Today, the first day in the month of June, let it be the beginning of your miracle in the name of Jesus. Lord, you open my eyes to see her, and I pray for you now. Solution to that problem in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Jesus entered the temple and he cast out. This morning I cast out. Forces of darkness that are engulfing your family, I decree them now, disappear. Out! By the power of the Holy Ghost. Darkness that have been involving your life for so long. Today, the word of God says, the Bible says, Christ is the light of the world. Let the light of Christ shine in your family now. Lord, I bless you that the demon possessed were healed. And today they are healed in this church in the name of Jesus. Whatever spiritual problem you cannot explain, doctors cannot explain. They have looked at it, they say, oh, we don't know what is happening. Today I say, Jesus, take over from them. And peradventure, you don't know Jesus, I want to pray for you. Your relationship with Christ is what matters. I pray for such people. May they encounter you today. Thank you, blessed Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.